Blog Talk Radio.
Super Aging Today.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles.
You know what? That's a lie, I see wrinkles.
When
this is Adrian Berg, and
mirror,
this is Super Aging Today.
I see hair.
The only show that celebrates aging.
On my head, aging. Not my shoulders.
And talks to you
when
about what you
can
expect.
Driveway, I see
and to make the
Mustang,
best life
not a
ahead
Subaru.
Of you. Better than the life
and
behind.
And when I look at my wife, she is 22 and running in slow
and
motion on the beach like
Bo
Derek. You may think
because his
that
wife's
I'm full of it, but that's...
He's inappropriate for his age, and that is a musical that was especially written for us for this show called Inappropriate for My Age, and you'll hear the male singer, the women's point of view, and even Granny's point of view, who's probably very inappropriate for her age. For those of you who don't know, the average age for lifespan in the year 1900 was age 47. We have more than doubled that here in 2014, and if you take a look at some of the signs across the highways in the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, you may see that you need to plan until age 150, and we will be having longevitists on our show who say that we don't ever have to die. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Interesting when you really think about it. Well, that's what this show is about. It's thinking truly about aging, not always pretty. But if you hear any of our guests that you'd like to call in and ask them questions about their life and the way they handle the issue of aging, 818-739-8957. That's 818-739-8957. If you want to hear the show or let anybody else know about the show, of course, we are on Twitter and we're on Facebook and we're on LinkedIn, but we're on blogtalkradio.com/superagingtoday and on the great website, superagingnj.com. Well, we're going to start today. Let me give you a lineup for the next couple of hours and then introduce you to our first guest. Our first guest is an author, and we'll tell you a lot about her in a second. We're also going to be speaking with Toby Nadler, who's the founder and president of womeninbusiness.org, and it is a way for women of all ages and some men as well to get together and celebrate each other and make business and become entrepreneurs at any age. Joseph Misch, who is one of our photographer reporters, and he does beautiful work for us on superagingnj.com, and he's going to be talking about being an explorer as you age. Of course, Diane Bell, who's with us every single week, will be talking about how to relocate and second homes, first homes, and go west, old man, how to go and really change where you live at any age. And we'll be finalizing our show with Kathy Allen, who's actually going to be speaking to us from Ireland. She's living in the home of the fellow who created Riverdance. And what Kathy Allen does is she lives the life that we all dream we could live after retirement. She trades her beautiful home in Santa Fe for homes all over the world. She goes all over the world, and she creates retreats for people who are post-retired or in the midst of their work and want to take sabbaticals and just don't know how to do that. And I don't think there's one person listening to me right now who hasn't fantasized about just leaving the life they live for a while and being another person living another life elsewhere. So I must tell you, I just came back from a fabulous cruise, and what's important to me about that is I have been seasick for the last 65 years. Now, all of a sudden, someone said to me, you know, when you age, sometimes you get less seasick. Why don't you try it? So 2 days before Caribbean cruise left, we tried it, not a moment of seasickness, and what it meant to me was more than just a wonderful vacation, and we went to Haiti. Oh, I have a special place in my heart for that because we worked hard to get food over there when they had their terrible crisis. But also, what it meant to me is that you really can change physically, mentally, emotionally, creatively as you age. And, of course, this is Adrian Berg. This is Super Aging Today. When I say the word creative, one of the first thoughts that come to my mind is my next guest. My next guest, I believe a pseudonym, but M.C. Quince. Now, you may know her because she is the author of Street of Secrets by Yawns Publishing. And Street of Secrets was supposed to be a little private book that her her family wanted her to have copywritten, and now people are demanding it everywhere. I'll give you a little bit of a synopsis. Street of Dreams is a book that, by the way, made me cry, so get some tissues out if you're going to read it, and you should, that gives you a synopsis of the life, the novel, but it is so real that it lives with you, the life of people in a neighborhood in Chicago before and after World War II, and the impact of World War II on that family and what it meant. It is not a war story. There are no guns in this story. It's not an epic. It is a tightly wound story of family and people who you will remember and think of as friends eventually. What I've done is I've chosen it as our first Super Aging Today book pick because we have a book pick on superagingandjay.com. It's the very first one for a couple of reasons, main one being that it's a great book. Wonderful book you should be reading. The second reason is that it commemorates the 70th anniversary of World War II. We're all going to Normandy, I'll tell you about that, with Colette Tours through Super Aging. And third, and very important to me, is when it was written in the life of this author. It was written after the age of 70, after retirement, and after she moved from one state to another to retire. So I cannot tell you how pleased I am to introduce you to the great MC Quince, the author of Street of Secrets. Hi, MC. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
Thank you for calling in. Yeah, you called in very promptly. It's wonderful. I gotta go right to the jugular here. When you read this book, there are voices, and there are voices in dialect, Jewish dialect and Italian and Irish dialect. Are these voices that are in your head, are these real people, even though this is a novel?
The people are fiction. Their stories are fiction, not unlike the people that I grew up I lived in a Chicago neighborhood that was quite diverse. The street that I placed my characters on was the very street I was born on. And I heard dialect all my life. Excuse me. I could hear the voices from people, and I think from the time I was 9 years old, I've always wanted to write, and I was sort of an observer of life, and I finally was able to do it. After retirement, I've been writing all my life, but never thought I would ever do anything like this or complete a book. And
so I know that you're a published author before then, but you've told me that your kids encouraged you to do that because they didn't want the story to get lost, and they really wanted to have that copyright. Tell us a little about the encouragement you got from your family.
Right. And that's why I went ahead and did it. It's sort of like I kind of self-published with the help of this little publishing company here in Woodstock, Georgia. And I never thought it would take off the way it did the first couple months that it was on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And I got some great reviews that people sent in on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and they thought the people were real. I've even had family members say, oh, come on, tell us the truth. You know these people. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't. It's kind of my imagination with what I remembered, what I grew up with. And it's hard to explain because I've been writing since I was 9 years old, and when I sit and write, it's almost like my characters write themselves. I kind of like to find out what they're going to do.
What they're going to say to you, right?
Right. Exactly.
So it's true. The character, and any great author will say that. That happens. They have a life of their own. But for us, anybody who grew up in a neighborhood, and I grew up in a neighborhood in Brooklyn, and the neighborhood that you describe in Street of Secrets is not so different, by the way, from the neighborhood that I grew up in. Your book ends the year that I was born. Your book actually ends the year that I was born. And the fact is that in my childhood, I know these characters. And I think anybody will know these characters. But what I do want to ask you about, and I think this is a serious, serious issue, that nobody can read this book without thinking about today, even though it's about the 40s and even goes back to the 30s.
Right.
You know, these people, Irish, Italian, Jewish, eventually were catalyzed and brought together by the war, which
exactly.
You make very, very clear. Except today we have another kind of war. And as Americans, it's very difficult. It's very different. You would have thought that what you call the melting pot would have worked. When you were working on this book, what were you thinking about how different it was then to the way it is today?
Well, the difference I find today was, remember, there was a lot of prejudice back then over religion, and you didn't cross lines. Marriage, you stayed in your own nationality. And the difference is the prejudice was actually not so covert. They would say it right in front of you, call you. You know, it's kind of a brutal book because I don't mince any words, and I use the slang words that people used back then. And it hurt, but I remember parents always saying, sticks and stones will break our bones, but names will never hurt us. And today it's almost like you can't express anything without being, you know, without a lawyer getting involved. So it was a different world at that time. People were more tolerant, and most of that was out of ignorance. Once you got to know people, all that fell away, as I describe in the book. And the war helped that. The war definitely helped that because different nationalities were brought together even on the battlefield. I can remember I had uncles working, going to World War II right after Pearl Harbor and meeting all kinds of different boys from the South, you know, different nationalities. And I think that's where the melting pot came in. And I would say, you know, there's still prejudice. I only can write what I know, and I know there's still prejudice today, but it's all due to ignorance and not knowing
people.
Now,
you know, one of the things that was interesting to me was you wanted to call this book a different name.
Originally the title was The Victory Garden.
Yeah. And why not? Why didn't you keep it that way? It's interesting why you changed
because
it.
Because the publisher thought that it would not attract young readers, because there is a young love story in it, and they wanted to attract young readers also. And young people wouldn't know what a Victory Garden was today. And that's why
they
had me change it.
I think that's probably true. There's an old British television show called The Victory Garden, which actually plants the way they did in the 40s. But you're right. That would have been obscure. And Street of Secrets is very accurate. There's a lot of secrets in this book. I want to go also to you personally. The fact is you did write the book. It is not a short book. It's a wonderful read. You got it published. You did not go to a regular publisher. And there's a lot of people out there listening on Super Aging today who have a book in their heart. I call it a book in your brain or a book in your heart. And I personally, you guys may know that I've written 14 books, but I've always had a publisher. And I've ghostwritten a lot of books. And I have helped other people use what they call the vanity press. And sometimes people turn their nose up and they say, oh, don't use a vanity. If you can't get a regular publisher, don't use the vanity press. Absolutely wrong. I've been have the best publishers, and I have used vanity presses. And I can tell you, if you know how to promote, you may be better off with the vanity press. Tell us what you did and how that worked for you, because it worked for you pretty well.
Yes, and the only thing is because of our age, my husband and I are in our 80s, it's difficult for me to promote it the way I would have had I been 20 years younger. But the library in my hometown of Elk Grove Village, Illinois, carries a copy. So I get support that way. Some book clubs up in Illinois and are reading it. Book clubs here in Woodstock, Georgia. Everybody loves the book. I'm kind of surprised because it shocked me more than anything. One of the reviews, if you go onto Amazon.com and put the name of my book in, and you can pull up all the reviews, and people seem to think they're real people. One girl, I gather she was a girl, mentioned that she wished she lived in those days, that she got caught up in it, and that and I thought, well, she has to be pretty young because it was a very tough time to grow up. And women have told me they stayed up all night to finish it because they couldn't wait to see what happened to all the characters.
I didn't write to tell you that, but I
page turner.
It's definitely a page turner. So you spilled a bean that I wasn't going to ask you about, and that is you told your age, and I think it's extremely important on Super Aging Today when we talk about creativity in the brain, and we say that sometimes we lose what's called fluid intelligence, meaning we're not as fast, but we gain crystallized intelligence, meaning we're more creative and we have more experience. Now, this is
right.
a great example. If you think that you're too old to write your novel, you better read Street of Secrets by M.C. Quince, which you can get on all of the electronic media like Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Tell, you said that you and your husband are over 80. You mind telling us how old you were and when you started the book? How old you were when you started writing the
book? I was in my 60s when I started, but I didn't think I was ever able to do it. I belonged to a writer's club in Raleigh, North Carolina. We lived there for 22 years. We retired to Woodstock 5 years ago to be near our youngest son. And that's when I thought, by gosh, I'm going to do it. I've been writing all my life, short stories, and never did anything with any of it. Didn't have the courage to do anything. And finally, my eldest son said, Mom, you better do something to protect this story. And I went for the copyright, not thinking that people would love it that much. I'm very pleased about that.
And how old were you when you finished the novel itself?
I finished it last year. I worked on it for 3 years here. I've been here 5 years in Woodstock, and for 3 years, with the help of a couple other ladies that write, we would meet once a week, and I finally finished the final draft. I started the story 20 years ago, thanks to a writer I met who loved it and encouraged me, and I thank him in the book. He's deceased since, but.
So, you know, I want this to be a message. This is Super Aging and has a message. The message is that it's never too late, that if this is something in your heart, in your mind, whether you started it 20 minutes ago or 20 years ago, do it. Just do it. So we thank you so much. We've been talking to M.C. Quince. Street of Secrets is her first novel. Pretty soon, you're working on a second novel, or is this it?
What's your idea
for writing? I knew it. Are we privileged to hear
I'm working on a second novel, but yes. And I'm going to keep going until I can't go anymore.
Well, that's wonderful. We'll be looking forward to it, and we'll have you back on the show. And, of course, please do go to superagingnj.com. In about 2 weeks, we'll have our book section up under the section called Mind. And not only will we have Street of Secrets as our first pick, but we will also have some words of wisdom of what you can do if you want to be a writer. And I once asked my first publisher, how do you be a writer? And they said, you write. That was the whole answer. So thank you so much, and good luck.
You're
with the
welcome.
Book. Take
it's
care.
Been a pleasure.
Wonderful. And so now we're going to take a quick break before we go on to our next guest. I just want to remind you that we have sponsors, and you can be a sponsor too. But one of our premier sponsors is Unity Bank. Now, it has its headquarters in Clinton, New Jersey, but it really has deep roots in the entire New Jersey Central community. You can find them on unitybank.com. And by the way, they do have special senior accounts. One of the main reasons, and I'll be blunt, that they wanted to be a sponsor of this show is twofold. They are very interested in all kinds of community work, but they also have very, very special interests in mature depositors, people who are providing for their own retirements through IRAs. They have special accounts with better rates. They have special mortgages for people who are mature. And so you are the people they are looking for. And by the way, knowing an awful lot about marketing to our age group, very few people want us. And when a Unity Bank steps up to the plate and says, these are my people, you want to call them for the best rates. And whether it is rates that you're getting on your CDs or your business checking accounts or your regular checking accounts or your mortgages, unitybank.com is the place to go and to get started. And I also want to let everybody know that when we've got a case where people are really looking to help their grandkids, people really looking to help their grandchildren. One of the things that we want to do with that is get together and really know how to help. Now, there's a lot of ways that we can do that. One of them is financial literacy. And I want to talk a little bit about this in this segment, because when it comes to financial literacy, this is an easy topic. You just heard MC Quince, who's somebody who grew up or was a young child during World War II. Her parents were affected by the Depression. People get depression mentalities. We still know people today because of our great longevity in their 90s and 100s who can tell you all about being a child in the 1930s. And this carries over, and it's not a joke. We eventually end up having a money personality. And this is something that I've been involved with for very, very, very many years. I mentioned that I have 14 books out, and one of those books is called The Totally Awesome Money Book for Kids. And actually, that was rewritten. That was written by myself and my 11-year-old son, Arthur Bachner, and then years ago was put out just by Arthur Bachner and Rose Bachner and updated, and it's in 5 languages. So this, too, is available for parents and grandparents to walk through the process of understanding money and being money savvy. Now, there is also new websites out, like domain.com, D-O-U-G-H, main.com. And it's the new way of looking at financial literacy through games, through interaction, through videos. In other words, taking all the technology that we never had and putting it all in one place for people who are ready to help their kids, even if they themselves aren't as financially literate. So when we went to superagingnj.com and started to create a website, one of the things that was real of great interest is what topic should we break it down to? What was the big topics of aging? And we certainly knew that the body was number one. Anything that had to do with health or even looks, how we feel about ourselves was one of them. We also knew that the mind was another one. Cognition, how are we feeling after a certain age, about our intelligence. I talked about fluid intelligence, meaning how quick we are, and that does slow down. But we get another kind of intelligence that becomes more robust, and that's called crystalline intelligence, where we remember things from the past very vividly. In a good way, we use it as experience. This is not just being a geezer. This is a type of intelligence. So we had mind and we had body, and then we had spirit. And it doesn't mean religion, but it does mean religion for some, for many. It also means ritual, meditation, being in touch with nature. So we had mind, body, and spirit. The other was home. And home was important because home is also changing. People move out. They leave their stuff there. You end up with things you had in the 50s or in the 60s. How do you get rid of them? They're worth something. Aren't they worth something? How do you unclutter your life? So we had mind, body, spirit, home, and what happens if you have to go to another state or even another country to live near your kids? But then we said there was something missing here, and should we include it? And we said yes. And that is personal finance and money. And what we've discovered is that this may be the major key, and I hate to sound materialistic, but it is a major key to successful aging. People who have more money live longer. And not just because they're healthier, by the way, but because they can get better care. However, they're also healthier. They're also more secure. They also have less stress. They can also go out and have the time to travel or to take the things in their life that they really want to maximize. And so we think that it's very important for you to get in touch with your own money baby, your own money personality, and then pass it on. It's one of the most important things of what we call the matriarch and patriarch that we become when we become older, because we do influence our kids in every way and our grandkids in every way more than you think. I'll give you 2 little statistics, and then we'll take a little bit of a music break and we'll go on to our next guest. Statistic number one, all studies show that children's view of money, 63% comes from parents and grandparents, not from the television and not from the computer. So whatever you're passing on, it's really worthwhile, and you are passing it on. And the other thing that I want to point out is that sometimes it is easier, if you know very little yourself, to help kids, because you can learn together and sit down together. So Again, I want to discuss with you the possibility of going on to Amazon, taking a look at the Totally Awesome Money Book for Kids and Their Families, the Totally Awesome Business Book for Kids and Their Families, 5 different languages, sharing it with your children. And the other is, for yourself, my latest book, How Not to Go Broke at 102. How Not to Go Broke at 102. Everything that you need to know to live the money life that leads to super aging and successful aging. All right, let's take a little bit of a music break, and we'll be back with our next guest.
What's so funny when a grandma raps, if she's not sitting and knitting and taking pills between naps? Something strange if she is out playing scratch, but I won't stay in my cage. I'm inappropriate for my age. What's so damn funny? I'm not Kanye. I'm not tame. I'm not cute. I got a block and I'll shoot, so step off. I got some tea brewing.
Okay.
So let me introduce you to Toby Nadler, who is, first of all, a very, very good friend, somebody who I love doing business with. And this is a person who is in the forefront of business, but she's certainly not all business. If you want to give to me the number one thing that comes to my mind when I think of Toby, it's fun and creativity. Now, she's the founder and president of womeninbusiness.org, and she's creator of the famous Couches and Cupcake Salons. I'll let her explain that one, although I have been there, because let me tell you something. Everybody I know and everyone who works with Toby says, you know, she's like light in a bottle. You can't even explain Toby. I don't know if Toby can explain Toby, but I'm so interested in having her present to you what she does, because it not only is it innovative, but it brings women together of all ages in wonderful venues and places and in ways that they can communicate that isn't called networking. God forbid we cannot use the word networking when we talk to Toby Nadler, because she has a whole other view of how women relate with each other over the age spans. Toby, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for having me as a guest today.
Well, it's going to be great. I'd like you to just start by explaining your salons and womeninbusiness.org associates and what both of those mean, and then after that we'll go on and talk a little bit about your next event.
Well, Adrienne, you asked me to convey to your listeners the importance of recognizing and honoring the success of women in business in all sectors on a national level. And that includes entrepreneurs and executives and professionals and business owners. And so that's why I have been invited today to discuss that with your listeners. And I'm very excited to do that because, as you mentioned, womeninbusiness.org is innovative. It's the national distinction and certification of successful women. And right now I'm going to pose a question to your listeners, and that is, can you think of the 2 achievement celebrations widely recognized by women? Most women and men
probably can't.
They think personal expression, right. They can think of personal celebrations, weddings, sweet 16s, even divorce parties. But achievement celebration, the 2 are, and they happen to, I think of them as bookends, graduation, whether it be master's degree, a PhD, or high school graduation, and on the other end, retirement. But in between, there's a wide gap, as you know, and that is what womeninbusiness.org focuses on, the sweet success of women in business in all sectors, in all ages. And this is very important because sweet success redefines the traditional definition of success, which is the attainment of wealth, power, and fame. What we're interested in, what women very often talk about who receive honors and recognition, whether it be celebrities or from the local chambers of commerce or publishing companies or a city or a state, they usually refer to their own sweet success, whom they help, what they've changed, and how they feel. And this is very important, and that's what womeninbusiness.org recognizes and definitely wants you to experience through the Grand Couches and Cupcakes Business Salon. In fact, Adrian, your own success secret, and that's what we refer to, we always ask the women we recognize. We're not a women's organization. There are no yearly dues, no monthly meetings. And we always ask them their success secret. And we have yours on the homepage of womeninbusiness.org. So we invite your listeners and audience to visit us and see your photo and find out your success secret, Adrian.
So you know what? I want everybody to do that, but I'll spill the beans because there's a lot of great success secrets there, and you must go to that website. And I'm also going to tell you about, or at least have Toby tell you about, an event that's coming up because she does many events all over the United States. But I'll give a very quick one on this and then go back to Toby relating to this. Many years ago, I'm a professional speaker, and I take courses just like everybody else. And one of the courses I took was with a woman who teaches you how to be a professional speaker. And I'll tell you the truth, she was not a beauty. So, Toby, somebody asked her, what is the secret of your success? And she was very successful financially and very well respected. And she said, those of you who are listening who are a little bit older might remember Imogene Coca, the great comedian. Well, she looked like her from the Sid Caesar show. And she said, my mother said to me, and I thought to myself, gee, this is not a good mom, but listen. My mother said to me, you may not be the prettiest girl in the room, and you may not be the smartest girl in the room, but you could always keep your promise. And that was so deep to me. Even now I get emotional over it. That's what I can do. And that's the secret of success. You can always keep your promise. It's up to you. Nobody can stop you from that. You don't need any money to keep your promise. You don't need anybody else to keep your promise. That is totally in your control. So that's the kind of thing that goes on in a Toby Nadler event. People are just coming out with who they truly are, which is why you don't call it networking. So explain couches and explain the chaos of couches and cupcakes and what those salons look like at events.
Well, each business salon takes place in a private place, public space, and each one is uniquely different. And we have women and a few astute men who come to salon. In fact, our next business salon, we call it the Grand Salon. We have we certainly have had growth, and usually their salons are set a short period of time, and when we bring the women together, frankly, we've gone over, not because I haven't ended on time, we've gone over, the women just don't want to leave an hour or two over because it's so certainly empowering. And the connections and meeting other successful women and finding out about them and hearing their story. And that's what we do. At some point, you've arrived. So we say, find the answers, finish the story. And we do combine business and pleasure, always with a point. So the next salon is taking place in Boston, October 2nd, at the Heinz Convention Center. We've already booked in June 2015, New York City at the Javits Center, and we're going to be in Atlanta because we are a national recognition, and that's going to be December, in December 10th in 2015. But your listeners, Adrian, the reason why this is significant and relative for at least three groups of your listeners and your audience is because you have women who are currently working, whether they're women in transition in all sectors or women who are continuing to run their own established businesses or corporate women who are not ready to retire. Womeninbusiness.org wants to hear your story. Another group that you have as listeners are successful women in business, executives, professionals, business owners who have already retired in their 60s or 70s. And we would love to have you on our advisory board. So these are women who can serve as role models or would like to participate in a mentorship role without a formal time frame. And then, of course, there's the third group, men and women who know family members or friends or business colleagues that should be recognized and honored as womeninbusiness.org associates. Or perhaps you know a younger woman who is a business owner or starting out in their career who would be interested in being on a committee with many business benefits that we offer. So we welcome your referrals, your recommendations, and you can send that to toby@womeninbusiness.org.
So now I also wanted to tell you that this is something different. For those of you who are listening that are in business, whether you're entrepreneurs because people over the age of 50 are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs, or whether you are retired or you are just thinking about getting into the world of business, there's nothing like this in the United States. I go to conferences upon conferences. The difference here is that we talk about leadership ability of women being unique. You will find leadership styles that you can never see or read about in any book. And you may go to a mentor and say, how do I do this? And they'll tell you how to write a resume. But you go to a Toby, a womeninbusiness.org event, or you get involved on the website, and they'll tell you something like, keep your promise and put that in your resume. You will never, never know that that is what stands out. So there's so much to learn in so many different ways, and it's so painless and fun. Before we leave you, Toby, this is a great example. Every time you get an award, you get a plaque, right, or maybe a paperweight
right.
or a trophy. What do you give people?
And then you put it in your basement, right, Adrian?
And you put it in your basement. You don't want to throw it out, because, but it's ugly. And, you know, eventually it goes. What do you give people? Explain what your trophy looks like.
Well, womeninbusiness.org is unique, and I wanted something that represented and had significant meaning to the individual business success statement, their individual legacy of these incredible, impressive, influential women. And so we created a special wine glass, which is only given to the honorees, who we recognize
right.
at the Grand Salon.
And every one of
it
them
is personalized.
Has a picture.
It features their face, and it
right.
Signifies the date, and it has been extremely well received. So we're using that as the womeninbusiness.org signature recognition in addition to the certification of the Women Associates.
And so I just want to say to Toby, and because I'm so proud of this, I am one of those who was recognized, and it's adorable. It's got your face, it's got your hair, it's got your name. It's a wine glass, which I'll never drink from, but I must say it resonated with most women because we are wine drinkers. And it was just
well,
perfect.
That will never end up in your basement. And in addition,
no,
I'd like
never.
To mention to you, to your listeners, that Adrian will be in Boston October 2nd, and that would be a great opportunity to meet this wonderful, successful woman at our Grand Couches and Cupcakes Business Salon.
So thank you very much. Just give us your website one more time and the email one more time.
Women, W-O-M-E-N-N-I-N, business.org, womeninbusiness.org, and your listeners can personally email me at toby@womeninbusiness.org. Thank you so much for letting me get this message out. It is an important one.
Terrific. And thank you very much. And we'll have a little bit of music, and then we're going to introduce you to get something else you can do for your grandkids.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulders. When I look in the driveway, I see a Mustang, not a Subaru. I'm inappropriate for my age.
My loving husband.
Okay, so Inappropriate for My Age was actually written, very interestingly, by a young guy, and I won him in an auction. I won him in an auction about a year ago. I love the arts, and I'm going to one day really, really spend a lot more time in and out of Broadway and Lincoln Center and wonderful parts of Atlanta and the West Coast, because I find art, music, plays, creativity everywhere all over the world. But, of course, being close enough to New York, that's my baby now. And one of the things that we've supported was something called NYMPH, which is the New York Music Theater Festival. And it's a venue for people who write musical theater to show off. And they do a wonderful, wonderful job every July, all summer long. You can always see some of their shows. But they do have a festival that runs about 3 weeks. And in it, they, of course, try to do fundraising. And one of the things in their auction was that a playwright and a musician who does things for different shows in New York City would write a 10-minute play for you on any subject you want. Now, this was a year ago. And I said, you know what? It's time for a radio show on super aging, and I'm going to win this. And I did. I bid the highest bid, and I won him, except that he was in his 30s. And I said to him, you know, what I want you to do is I want you to write a 10-minute musical about aging. And this absolutely floored him. He couldn't even get his mind around it. He said, you mean people, like people who are 50? I said, no, I mean about aging. People who start at birth all the way up. Or you could start at 90 and go up. Well, he came up after a while of great personal suffering and introspection with inappropriate for my age. And I absolutely love it because he really did capture the issue of coming to a certain time in your life and saying the blank with it and being who you are and letting people know who you are and admitting that you have some fantasies about yourself and saying, yeah, when I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. My wife is still 22. What am I doing here? Who am I, on the one hand? And then breaking out into rap music because you feel so free, on the other hand. And if you're like me, that is the way your aging goes. It goes to the point where sometimes it's the best thing that's happening to you and sometimes it's the worst thing that's happening to you. And in Super Aging Today, we admit all those things and we look at the underbelly of all of it. And we'll take a short break to let you know about the admissions office, something that you may never have heard of before, and then also give you our phone number. Our phone number is 818-739-8957. Now, this is the first time that we have, because we're evolving, given out this phone number. If we have a guest on and you want to ask questions of this guest, please use this number. For example, MC Quince, our author, who was our first guest today, if you want to write a novel, you could call her during her spot at 818-739-8957 and find out more about it. This is something we want to institute. We want to make sure that our listeners know that they can call us here and now. Somebody will answer that call, and you will be on the air with our guest asking them a questions appropriate to their topic. You may want to do that, get that ready, while we are giving you some additional information for our next guest. His name is Joseph Misch. You know him. He is one of our staples here. He's a photojournalist with superagingnj.com. He's an author. We're going to tell you more about him in a minute. But if you have any interest in nature exploration, photography, writing your own photojournal book, get your phone, 818-739-8957, and give Joe a call. He'll be on in just a minute. Right now, I wanted to tell you about collegeapplicationcoach.com. This is the website of the admissions office. Some of you have children or grandchildren, people that you love, nieces and nephews that are on the way to college at the end of their high school years, and they're worried about getting into the right college. They're worried about writing essays. They're worried about filling out those forms. There's strife in the home. People are yelling at each other all over the place. The mothers and fathers are at each other's throats. I mean, it's college application time. What do you want? So it doesn't have to be that way. This is a very sensitive process where the family and the student really separate so that the student can be their own person. This is a process through the admissions office where children quickly evolve into understanding who they are so they can write about it in their essay and show it in every aspect of their college application and also select the correct colleges. In order to get more information about this, there's always a free consultation for listeners of Super Aging Today. And all you have to do is go to the website, collegeapplicationcoach.com, collegeapplicationcoach.com. Let them know. There's a place there where you can see how to contact the coaches, and they will speak with you personally and let you know exactly how this works. Okay, so let us go ahead. I have a beautiful book in front of me. I've discussed this book with you before. It's called Chasey's Tale of Fox Trails, and I've even read a little bit from that book. But it's a story and photographs by J.J. Mish, who I call Joe, and he is not only one of the great photographers. You can see some of his beautiful work on superagingnj.com. If you take a look at Spirit, we tend to put his beautiful pictures up there, but not him. All of our authors have a picture of themselves, but we have a picture of Joe underwater with one hand up and a kayak paddle. So you know who Joe is. You know what kind of guy he is. And if you want to be a nature explorer, you should be calling us and getting the information about that at 818-739-8957. So let me start with Joe, because we're going to end with him, and then we're going to even start our next hour with him. First, I got to know what you're up to. What are you up to these days? What's the next project that you're working on?
What I'm doing right now is compiling all of my articles, published articles and photos, into WordPress on winterbeerrising.wordpress.com.
Okay.
I'm putting all of the articles there from 2004 to the current time. And that's in preparation for sorting out the articles to create a couple of books from those articles. One of the books would be a 1,000-mile journey down a 10-mile stretch of river.
Mm-hmm.
And the other would be New Jersey's natural treasures hidden in plain view.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because we get a bad rap, don't we? I mean, we call ourselves the Garden State, and when people stop laughing, they wonder, why could we possibly call ourselves the Garden State? But what are some of the hidden treasures that are in full view?
Well, New Jersey has a lot. Hunterdon County, Warren County especially, has a lot of land set aside for preserves that people don't even know about. There are the state properties. There's the fish and wildlife properties, which anybody could go on at any time. It's acres and acres. There's the county properties, and there are a lot of private preserves. And these private preserves are really gems, and you really have to search for them. The South Branch Watershed Association and the North Branch Watershed Association have joined forces, and I'm not sure what they call themselves, the headwaters or whatever. But organizations like that, get together, and they have, you know, land donated to them and preserved that you drive by all the time, you never even know about it. And it's not necessarily, with tennis courts and bathrooms and so forth. It's just a pullover on the side of the road. We have acres of property to explore.
Okay, let's talk about that. You know, I'm from Brooklyn, and exploring to me was eating the pastrami sandwich instead of the corned beef sandwich. That was an exploration.
Well, a tree grows in Brooklyn, right?
A tree grows in Brooklyn. Only one, though. But the thing here is, you know, I see those signs all the time. I'm personally from Hunterdon County. First of all, I thought it was trespassing to go on them until you just told me that it's not. And second of all, what can you do? What are you allowed? Certainly I can't take a bonfire, or can I create Woodstock there? What are you allowed to do? What should you do as a responsible, honestly, a responsible nature lover to enjoy these properties?
Well, the first thing you have to do is go online, find the preserve online, get the maps, and read any sort of restrictions that they might have. Usually places like, say, the fish and game properties, which are extensive, don't allow picnicking. I mean, you know, who's going to stop you if you bring a sandwich, sit down on a log and eat it? But, you know, the classic type of picnicking.
Because they don't want the garbage
fires
there.
And so forth.
Right, right.
Sometimes some of these places become like a hangout.
Right.
And these are the things that are discouraged. I mean, the people that are really behind these preserves are really into it. And the level of information or the level of visual appreciation that you get varies from person to person. You know, you especially want to look at the maps online. You don't want to get lost.
Right.
You know,
one of the things that I think this is very important for is there are many people who pass these signs and they look at it as wasted property.
Yeah.
And the reason they look at it as wasted property is they really feel that it's there for the birds. It's not there for the for us at all,
mm-hmm.
Respectful or not respectful. But it's important for you to bring that message in your new book.
Yeah.
That is not true, and let people have an easier access to finding these places and what they're doing and what they're allowed to do there.
Yeah.
The other thing is you mentioned Winter Bear. And when I think about you, Joe, I do think of winter because you do some extreme activities in winter, but not in the state of New Jersey. Can you tell some people how many years you've been doing this and describe the event?
Well, first off, extreme is a relative term.
Yeah, but to me it's extreme. Trust me, it's extreme.
Yeah. Ever since I was a kid, you know, I was fascinated by boats and canoes, you know, hand-powered boats and so forth. And I just really enjoy being outdoors. You know, the canoeing has always been there. I always loved to go hiking just to see what was going on, you know, the different birds and animals. And I think that influences in the Boy Scouts, a lot of the different Boy Scouts,
yes.
One friend's father was a dedicated bird watcher with his wife, and at the drop of a hat, they would drive out to Long Island to see a snow bunting migrating through.
Right.
And I had come across an owl from the Raritan Arsenal. My uncle worked there. My father worked there. Everybody who worked in the Raritan Arsenal at the time. It was a government installation right along the Raritan River, just upstream from the Parkway Bridge. And they had guard towers in there left over from World War II. And one day somebody had gone up into one of the guard towers and had seen an owl, a small owl. And I kind of had a reputation as a kid that, bring your wounded animals to me. So they brought this owl to me, and I had it for a few weeks, and it died.
Oh, this is not a good story,
yeah.
Joe.
Well, it turns out to be. So I buried it. It was wintertime. And Mr. Nessel, that's one of the scout leaders, and he was also a chemistry teacher at the Perth Amboy Vocational School, was interested in it. He says, what kind of owl was it? And I had these nature books that I got from Acme. Acme would come out like once a month.
Right.
You know,
I used to have the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah,
can you imagine that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the first volume had archerfish. But
right.
Anyway, with limited research and no computers in sight,
right.
I determined that this was a boreal owl. And this was heresy. It's like a boreal owl. No, kid, you're wrong. I think I was about 12 or 13 at the time. And, you know, Mr. Nessel had faith in me. And, you know, he looked at the owl. And then he contacted Dr. Irving Black at the Newark Museum. And we gave the owl, we drove up there one night, and we gave the owl to Dr. Black. And then he confabbed with a number of nationally known ornithologists. And everybody goes, it's a saw-wet owl, it's a saw-wet owl. And I'm saying, no, it's a boreal owl. And sure enough, it turned out to be a boreal owl.
You know, this is a great segue for me to talk a little bit about travel. I'm going to surprise everybody. And surprise you. I have been to the boreal. For those of you who don't know it, the boreal is way up north. It is you can get there in Canada, and I got it there in Canada, but it's below the Arctic and it's above any kind of winter you know. And I went up there because I'm a travel writer and I want to talk to you guys about this for a moment. And we have a website called theagelesstraveler.com, theagelesstraveler.com. And I was invited to go up there. And what we did was not only see the owls, but we used telemetrics, which we put on our heads, to be able to track moose. So which they do not call moose. They call caribou. So we were looking at the owls. We were looking at the caribou. And then we slept, not in tents, but in sleeping bags, on herbs that they put out in little unheated cabins. And I have to tell you, the breakfast I had when I woke up that morning was the best breakfast I've ever had in my life, because I've never been so hungry in my whole life. And everything was over a cook stove. Now, why do I bring this up? I bring this up because travel is also one of the things that we have on superagingnj.com. I was telling the audience before, the listeners before, we have mind, we have body, we have spirit, which Joe has a great deal to do with on our website and in our show. We have home, we have money, but we also have travel. And the ability to see these things for a moment, now I'm not a naturalist and Joe is, I get a glimpse of it once or twice in my life in different ways, but it is something that I bring with me. It is a richness to travel. So I do want you to go to superagingnj.com and also theagelesstraveler.com. As I mentioned when M.C. Quince, our author of Street of Secrets, was on about her novel regarding World War II, we have partnered with Colette Tours for a wonderful trip to Normandy, the beaches of Normandy in November. For any of you who really want to go and learn, they have a historian with them, and they talk about and commemorate the 70th year of World War II. So on The Ageless Traveler, you're going to find a couple of trips that we can work with you and help you take, but you also are going to find a lot of encouragement, a lot of information, a lot of materials. Now I'm going to have some of Joe's pictures, too, because what he does is a type of travel. Nature travel is a type of travel on that site as well. So we're really getting together and creating a community of love and a community of incitement, excitement over aging. One of those things is spirit and getting involved with nature. Now, when you do that, Joe, and when you get excited as a little boy,
mm-hmm.
and then you get older, sometimes that translates into you wanting to excite other young kids. So tell us a little bit about your book, because that definitely excites little children and brings that flavor of what you experience
yeah.
to all the kids and grandkids of people who are listening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, because of the short time I had with my grandmother, it left a very strong impression on me. And, you know, at the time we lived with her, she had chickens.
Yes.
Pictures of me as a little kid in a chicken coop. And I remember, it's interesting, with the photographs, a lot of times you see a photograph of yourself at, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and you think that conjures a memory, and it's the photo that's conjuring the memory. But the memory, there are other memories that don't rely on a photo. And one of the moments that I had with my grandmother walking along Jersey Avenue in Ford's looking at the flower gardens
mm-hmm.
is it's indelible, and it's as if it happened yesterday. And it takes a while sometimes to revisit these moments. There's no real rational reason for remembering
mm-hmm.
them.
Yes.
You know, you should remember your wedding day or whatever, and, you know, here you remember this. It's like, what does this have to do with anything?
Even a taste. That taste memory
yeah.
happened as well.
Yeah.
And this beautiful book, Chasey's Tale of Fox Trails, Joe's going to tell you how to get it in a minute. But this is for a younger child. It's a read-along book. It has his beautiful photos on it. There's something that's kind of heartwarming about it, but I'm just going to read one thing. Beautiful picture of a fox. You see many, many pictures of foxes throughout. She sits to think and sniff the air. She follows her nose to see what's there. And that's what you're seeing here. You're actually seeing the fox sniffing the air and then following her nose. And, you know, you've seen a fox. We've all seen one. I saw one the other day. But you don't sit down and take pictures of it and write a book about it, even though it's interesting to you and exciting to you. And I'm going to ask you the same question, Joe, as I did MC Quince, which is, what brought you to create this beautiful book from some of your pictures, and now you're going on to, obviously, two other books.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to encourage the people who are listening and explain to them that we have something in ourselves that's worth bringing and creating and giving to other people.
Yeah.
Just don't think about it. Do it. What gave you the catalyst to actually do it?
Well, all the time that I've spent, you know, canoeing, fishing, hunting, and hiking in the woods, and I'd see things. You know, I'd see the behavior in that book. There's a picture of a fox that's maybe about 3.5 feet off the ground in
right.
the air.
Yes.
At a distance, it looked like he was on a trampoline.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I had a mink that almost jumped into a boat with me during a snowstorm as I pulled over to warm my hands and under my arms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when these things happen, they're just so intimate. you know, it's no longer a generic fox or mink or whatever. It's now you've had an interaction with them, and there's an individuality to all these animals. And when you see something like this, you just can't wait to go home and who wants to listen to me? Guess what happened to me today?
Mm-hmm.
It's that sort of thing that that develops. And there's an emptiness. If you see something that you deem to be exceptional, beautiful, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, experience, and there's nobody to share it with, I mean, there isn't anything more empty than that.
Yes.
And this book is an outgrowth of wanting to share that information and thinking again of the influence that my grandmother had. We don't always realize that the influence that we impart on people or the influence that we've taken.
So we're going to take a little bit of a break, get some music. You'll hear from our sponsors. We come back. We have a word or two yet from Joe because we want to talk about the possibility of what you need in gear, what you need to do if you want to get your toe in the water of, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, doing some of the things that Joe does and in a safe way. And we shall talk about that when we return. For those of you who do not think of yourselves as outdoorsmen, it's never too late. We'll talk about that in a second.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles.
We never
when
let this guy finish.
In the mirror,
I'll let you hear
I
a little bit of his
hair on my head, not my shoulders. When I look in the driveway,
we can't
I
let him finish. He's got,
Mustang,
he's got 3 minutes
not
time.
A Subaru.
Give him a couple more seconds.
And when I look at my wife, she is 22 and running in slow motion on the beach like Bo Derek. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, I'm inappropriate.
Okay, this is Super Aging Today.
Age.
This is our second hour of Super Aging Today, and we're carrying over one of our favorite guests, who's Joe Misch. We have quite a few, by the way. I want to give you the rundown for this hour. After we speak with Joe, we're going to be talking with, I think, our good friend Diane Bell, yes, of Easy Street Realty, who's going to tackle one of the most difficult parts of aging, and that is moving, getting a second home, leaving your first home, moving west, moving and relocating to be closer to your kids and grandkids. And then we will be talking about a very special guest, Kathy Allen, who will be calling us from Ireland. She is actually living in the house of the creator of Riverdance. Why? Because he's living in her house in Santa Fe. She swapped homes. And she is also an author, by the way, of Reboot Your Life. She has retreats all over the world for men and women over a certain age who want to make real differences in their lives and for people who are still working and younger who'd like to take a sabbatical and move away from what's the everyday for themselves. And she's going to teach us how to do that. Now, somebody who already instinctively has done that is sitting in front of me right now. His name is Joe Misch. For those of you who are interested in more information on how to become an outdoorsman, we're going to get an article out of him for superagingnj.com. I just volunteered him. And for those of you who have questions, don't forget you can reach us now for the first time. Simply by calling 818-739-8957, you will be on the air and you can ask our guests questions, 818-739-8957. We'll be posting that on our website as well. I do want to remind you that we have wonderful sponsors, including Unity Bank. You can find them at unitybank.com. They are deeply involved in the community. They are supporting this show because they believe in successful aging, but also because you are one of their demographic targets, which is a great thing for you. Most banks, most financial groups are sick of us already. We don't spend money according to the advertising companies. They don't want us. We're stuck in our ways. We're not loyal. No, Unity Bank says. We actually have created special accounts for seniors. We have been able to give them better rates on their CDs. We have been able to give them guidance with their IRAs and their distributions and their contributions. And we're also able to give them the best in mortgages if they have an interest, particularly if you're moving or you want to refinance your home. Please, 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 unitybank.com. I can't tell you which bank to go to because they're all over the place. So if you want to see their locations, although they're headquartered in Clinton, New Jersey, you simply go to unitybank.com. And if you're a parent or grandparent with a child almost ready to go to college, worried about those college applications, how about going on the website, collegeapplicationcoach.com? That is the site of the admissions office that helps your child reach in deep into who they are, write an essay that says who they are, and get to the right college and the college of their choice. So that is collegeapplicationcoach.com. Those of you who are interested in being advertisers on our show and supporters of our show, it is woefully inexpensive. It is so inexpensive that I'm ashamed to tell you how much it costs. So just go to superagingnj.com onto the advertising section, and you will see all of our packages. So let's go back to Joe. Now, one of the things, see, I'm fascinated. It's obvious that I'm fascinated by you because I was never an outdoor person. Never. I didn't go to gym. I thought that was like for stupid people. Plus, I'm from Brooklyn. So where was I going to go? Anyway, we played stoop ball. And also, my biggest item was a tricycle and a Spalding. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Nature and I were two, as Woody Allen says. Now everything has changed for me. As I got older, nature has become extremely important to me. I'm tied to where I live because I love getting up every morning and seeing the birds and the badgers and all that. But I'm still ignorant about how to prepare for an outdoor outing. I don't know much about gear, that kind of thing. Now, you're going to kayak.
Canoe.
You're going to canoe down. Is that going to be the basis of your book, the 1,000 Miles?
No. What I want to do with that is create a film. And that film would serve a couple of purposes. It could be sliced and diced for presentation to show people from Brooklyn.
Right, right.
Not to besmirch people from Brooklyn.
No, that's my people.
Of course not.
That's okay.
Yeah. To give them a taste of what's in their backyard.
Right, and what it's like to get out.
Perhaps they don't physically can't do that. Or, mentally,
maybe they can.
They
maybe they want to.
That they can't.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's,
right?
that's more like it.
So it's like, okay, here's a little teaser for you.
Right.
And it also would serve as a historic document that this is what the South Branch looked like.
At the time
the South Branch and the Raritan looked like at this time.
So in the few minutes we have left, I want to know how you're going to outfit yourself. I want to know how to do this because I end up, you should take a look, by the way, at freewalkers.com. I'm a long-distance walker now. And one of the things I can tell you, the difference between me and now and then is I didn't know what to bring. So I'd get dehydrated. I wouldn't, I'd feel dizzy. I'd have to stop. Now I can go 30 to 40 miles because I got the right stuff. What are you going to bring? What are you going to bring on your journey?
Well, it depends on if you're talking about my canoe trip
down
the
river. Yeah, specifically.
Yeah.
Your canoe
trip. Well, one thing I've learned with the canoe racing up in Maine is don't get dehydrated.
Yeah.
You have to constantly sip water. You just take like a teaspoon full of water. They have these things called camelbacks.
Yes.
I had a precursor to that. It was like an old wool sock, a horse blanket pin, a Pepsi bottle and some gas line from the local water.
You made
zone.
Your own
yeah.
camelback. All the free workers have a camelback.
Yeah. It's critical. It's critical. I can't overemphasize that enough. You have to have that dehydration. You have to have the water to hydrate,
right.
to maintain your energy.
Now, but the first thing I think of is like a flare because I think I'm going to get lost or in trouble. What do you do? Do you have a signal? Can you just call?
Well, these days you can.
Yeah, right. I'm talking about these days. I want everybody to get out there and not be afraid like I used to be.
Yeah, well, you learn lessons in life. I got lost in Maine in November when I didn't think I was going to get lost.
Uh-huh.
I was just going to take a little walk over there into the woods, turn around, come back. Got lost. It left a deep impression on me. So now, before I go hiking anywhere, I always look for a map. I'm a map person.
Right.
Go online and any of these places that you might, everything is mapped these days. Heck, you get an iPhone and it's like, where am I? It shows you where you
right
are.
Right there. Yeah.
So, you know, you have all sorts of technology, different ways to do it. And then you want some redundancy. You know, it's like, oh, what if my batteries fail? What if I drop it in the stream? You know, and that's where, like, basic map skills come in. And you really don't need anything technical. You look at a map and you say, okay, this is the area that I want to hike. And, oh, look, there's this road that runs all the way over here, this, you know, major road.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. So if you do have a compass, you could just head in that direction. Doesn't matter. You're going to come out on that road.
So your water, your food, your compass.
Yeah, you always have to know where you are.
Where you are, and tell people where you are. And by the way, for those of you who want to journey out and have never done anything like this before, go take a look at freewalkers.com. We are going to be walking constantly. We're starting in September again, the Jersey Shore. But we're also associated with, because this Super Aging Today is a national show, we're associated with the Greenways and other connected trails all over the country. So start with freewalkers.com, and it's freewalkers.org. And you will definitely learn from a pack of people who will not let you down what you should be bringing and if you're bringing the right thing at the right time. So thank you, Joe. And tell everybody how to get the Fox book for their grandkids.
Well, there is no way to get the Fox book right now.
You can't get the Fox book now. We're going to make sure that you do. You know what we're going to do? We told MC Quince last hour, our author, that we're putting this on her book, which is Street of Secrets, on our Super Aging Today book club. We will do that as well with yours, and we will figure out for those people who want to get this book exactly how they can get this book, because they're going to need it. Once they see it and they get a chance to take a look at some of it online, they're going to want the book. So thank you, Joe. We'll be talking
to you again
next time. This will be beautiful. So we go back to a little bit of music, a new segment, and then we're going to say hello to Diane Bell, who's going to solve all of your problems about relocating or buying a second home. There we go.
I'm
inappropriate. I was so surprised.
For my age. I see myself as a young man of action. I see myself,
and my boobs are up here.
I see myself
as a teen out past curfew.
I see myself and a score to some beer.
That's inappropriate.
We're 40 years over the drinking age.
Right.
Okay, well, 40 years over the drinking age. Actually, that means they're quite young. So if they're only 40 years over the drinking age. Diane Bell. Diane Bell is very young, by the way. We're going to have her picture on, but she's going to bring the average age down to a live of those people that we've got on our superagingnj.com website. And she is also beautiful, and she's also a mom. And she's also in Nevada. But easy, it's just true, I know. I see the way you walk around those high heels. I have no idea how you walk around in those high heels in the 207 degrees. And she runs out in high heels. Never saw anything like it. Easy Street Realty.
I only do it for
however,
you when you come to town.
I do it for me. So don't do it for me anymore. It gives me a complex. Easy Street Realty is all over the United States. It's not just in Nevada, but Diane is in Nevada. And she is an expert on things that really are important to us, including getting a second home, moving out west if your kids do, like it's happening to me, by the way, and also on buying real estate in your IRA and then eventually taking it out of your IRA and living there. So in case you're pre-retirement and you're not ready to move in yet, you can do something like that and take advantage of the lower interest rates that we happen to be having right this minute. I'm going to repeat our phone number. I want to get people used to the idea that they can call in and ask our guest questions, and they can do that toll-free at 818-739-8957, 818-739-8957. So, Diane, let's go right to what's hot at the moment. It's all from Nevada, which is very hot.
We've been experiencing some amazing weather, so surprisingly, we haven't had too much too much heat going on. It hasn't really been over the 100-degree mark in a few weeks now, so it's been nice, really nice.
Not over the 100-degree. It's a cold front. Okay, so
I know. Watch out.
So, yeah, I want to talk about certainly the latest trends that you're seeing in either second home buying or retirement first home buying. What would you say is
okay.
the latest trends that you're observing?
We will get to that in 1 second. Let me tell you about something that I just came across. There is a title company here in Vegas called Next Title, and they're primarily on the West Coast. Amazing, amazing resource. You can go on their website and check them out, nexttitle.com. Picked up a fabulous book, and to my knowledge, they are the only title company that advertises in this book, because I have never seen it. Over 10 years of doing real estate, you know, another 10 years of being an investor in real estate, and never have come across this fabulous guide. It is called Relocating to Las Vegas, and it's not cheap. It's a $20 book, but you can go online and take a look at it. And their website, I believe, is www.lvrelocationguide.org. Fabulous information for anybody looking to relocate, whether you are a retiree, baby boomer, young, old, whatever you want to say. This is just so much information. I'll give you your copy when I see you soon. But, I mean, it talks about active adult living at its best and just everything we have to offer. The latest trends that we have going on right now, and you've heard me discuss this for the past few shows, is our community.
Yes.
Here in Henderson, Cadence. It's a little stagnant right now, so I'm a little frustrated. It's basically a city within a city. It is going to be the latest up and coming 55 and over community. They will have it is mixed use, so they will have some other residences as well, single family homes, a lot of shopping. But basically, you're not going to have to leave your little community, and they're going to have everything in there. That's number one on our list. Secondly, all of the retirement communities are experiencing almost a shortage. We have a shortage of inventory as a whole. Normally, we carry 17,000 to 23,000 homes on the market. We're down to about 7,800, give or take. That's pretty small for us. And retirement communities. Don't even say that word out here. But a lot, we're experiencing the shortage in inventory, which is great for us, great for sellers, but the retirement community as well is experiencing this. And the rental rates on retirement communities are phenomenal. A lot of people don't necessarily want the mortgage. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with the upkeep of a home. And so they're renting. And they're not staying on the market very long. So it's a great time to invest in these 55 and over communities. That is what I have been researching lately. And I love that. Good
now,
stuff on purchasing.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we want to point out to people is when you say Las Vegas, people do think of the Strip. They think of the big hotels. They don't think about Lake Mead. That's not very far. They don't think about the state parks that aren't very far. It's a different world that you're really talking about than the center of Las Vegas. So describe some of that for us.
Absolutely. We actually have received a few awards this year from different websites, different publications, saying that we are one of the best communities to raise your children in due to our parks. We have so many parks throughout Las Vegas. We have the city of Las Vegas, then we also have the city of Henderson. And when you come to Vegas, like you said, you automatically think casinos, gambling, 24-hour. Okay, you travel 10 minutes west, 10 minutes east of the Strip, and you're going to find a completely different world. You're going to find neighborhoods, parks, libraries, grocery stores, just like everyone else has in the United States. And it's funny because when I first moved here 20-some years ago from Southern California, I was asked, do you eat in a buffet every night? Do you live in a hotel? Yeah, and back then it was okay because we were a lot smaller, but now Vegas has just grown so much and we have so much to offer. It's really neat to come out here and visit, see the Strip, but if you can get into a car and rent a car and just drive the valley, it's a really easy drive. You can make the whole entire loop in about 45 minutes to an hour. We have what's called the I-215, and that goes around the whole entire valley. And really neat drive, picturesque, but you can kind of see everything and everything we have to offer. And, of course, you can always give me a call, and I would love to show you around and love to show you what Henderson in Vegas has. But our prices are still cheap. Inventory is low, which makes it sound like it may be difficult to get a deal, but it's not. It's not difficult to get a deal. Unfortunately, lending requirements are getting a little stricter. So if you can pull from your IRA, which is something that I have been learning about this year, and borrowing from your IRA account, or you can pull some equity from a property that you may already own. I have another lady that's borrowing from her 401k, and she's moving here from Washington. There's all kinds of wonderful programs to invest.
One of the things that on superagingnj.com we do have, which is called Money, section, is how to finance your next purchase if you're not going to sell your home. So if you have a second home in mind, or if you are going to buy a second home, keep it for a while and wait to move so that when your neighborhood goes up in value, a lot of people are waiting, Diane, here in the Northeast, because our property values are still low. So they don't want to sell the home they've lived in all these years. They may even be underwater. Yet they know it's a good time to buy elsewhere. So how do you maneuver that? How do you make that happen? As Diane is saying, some possibilities that you don't think about because people don't tell you how to do it is the real estate IRA, the borrowing from your 401k, which is allowed. Also, if you're an entrepreneur and you have a solo 401k, you can make a borrowing. You're borrowing basically from yourself. But it is legal, not only legal, it's all part of the IRS structure of these that very few people know how to use or maneuver as they get older, and that's part of our money section, too. We have very unique information that's interesting and important to the mature. But it all boils down to how to live the life you love and how to really age in a super way. So before we leave you, Diane, and we'll have you immediately tell everybody your website and how to get in touch with you, I also want to ask you some of the problems, the emotional issues that you may be seeing, because people come from all over the country to work with you, and they're relocating. It's different than moving down the block or moving because you have a job and you have to go there. So where can we find you, and what are some of the emotional issues that you see with your clients?
Okay, before I forget, you can find me at DianeSellsLV.com, D-I-A-N-E, S as in Sam, E-L-L, as in Larry, S as in Sam, LV as in Las Vegas, .com. Or you feel free to call me, 702-245-3094. It's funny because the East Coast, as you know, has experienced some pretty crazy weather this past season. And I've had a lot of people up and not relocate 100%, but purchase a second home. Whether it was to rent out, whether it was to use it as a vacation home, which is very, very nice, and that may not be something that everybody can do. But the renting out part is great. We have great rental rates out here. I, thank God, have seen nothing but a positive outcome, outlook, return on everyone who has done this. And, you know, there's snags and there's difficulties and everything. I had a gentleman who had a pipe burst in his front yard, but, you know, he was able to handle it immediately. We have a home warranty on that property that took care of it. He made sure his neighbors knew that he was a snowbird and he came out seasonally, and so they knew how to get a hold of him and let him know what was going on. And, you know, there is a community out here. There is people do want to get to know you. People do want to be your friend. There's so many events that are going on. We're finally starting to develop some culture other than just gambling outside of Vegas.
Slot machine. Yeah.
Yes,
so we said, you know, Diane, I'm very, very thrilled to have you on as our mentor on relocating. And it's a perfect segue to our next guest who's calling us. I've been touting her for two hours now,
wonderful.
Kathy Allen. She's calling us all the way from Ireland. And I thank you so much, Diane. So that's Diane Bell. You could also take a look at her on Easy Street Realty. But I'm going to have all the information for all of our guests right on Super Aging NJ.
Thank you so much. Have a great
Diane.
Holiday weekend. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. And I'm going to go right on to Kathy Allen and introduce her She is the CEO of the Santa Fe Group. She's an author. She's going to tell you about her books. And she's an expert on sabbaticals, self-reinvention, rebooting your life. She runs retreats. I have had the privilege of being staying on one of the retreats that was actually put together by futurist Edie Wiener when we were going down to Santa Fe to take a look at different issues of health and how and meditation and how we respond to sound. So there are so many wonderful things and so many wonderful people that Kathy Allen is a catalyst to. But one of them is also house swapping, and she's done it on her own, and she's in Ireland, I believe in the home of the gentleman who is the creator of Riverdance. So, Kathy, thank you. We're going to take you all the way up to the end of the hour, if you don't mind. Do you have time for us, Kathy?
I do. Thank you so much. And can you hear me all right?
Beautiful.
Okay.
Now, we're
terrific.
On a little bit of delay. Yeah, we're on a little bit of a delay, not too much, but I want to rush right in. There's a lot of things I want to ask you about. The very first thing, though, is explain to us your original background so we understand that you were always a business leader, but what you're doing now is really totally out of the box. So explain your transition, so that how you rebooted your own life.
I will do that. And I like to say I started out in actually an old term, home economics, which was actually retailing. And that was the only way that women could be in business in the 60s and 70s. And so I was a retail store buyer, which I learned a great deal from. And I went from that to being an academic. I did my doctoral work on the divestiture of AT&T, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners from New Jersey are aware of that. And I taught at American University and Marymount College. And then I went from that to the corporate world. I worked for Dun & Bradstreet and Citicorp. And then I wanted to start my own business, so I moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and started the Santa Fe Group, which is a risk management, emerging technologies, cybersecurity company. And from that, I got interested in writing books, and I wrote a book on smart cards. I wrote a book called The Artist's Way at Work with Julia Cameron. I wrote the two books that I'm going to talk about today, or some of the research from the books, Reboot Your Life, and also a new book coming out in September called Revolutionary Retirement. So I got interested, you know, I have a business background, but I also got interested in what motivates people and how people can reinvent their lives. And that's what led to being an author.
Now, for those of you who don't know, by the way, The Artist's Way of Work could be an important book for you as well. I mean, in my life, Kathy, my daughter is a fine arts major, but it's really theater. She's managing a famous theater in Brooklyn called Theater for a New Audience. And her friends, her colleagues, the people she graduated from NYU, Tisch, where they are artists. And The Artist's Way of Work is a fascinating book. Even if you're not an artist, it's a kind of a how-to book, but I was first introduced to you that way. I didn't even know or make the connection when I came out to your home and I first met you, because I knew you more from the reinvention and the rebooting your life and life after retirement. So let's go to that. But those of you who have an artist in your life, dig up that one on Amazon. It's an important book. Now let's go to Reboot. How did all this get started and the Santa Fe Group get together?
Well, so the Reboot story is quite interesting. There were three other women and myself had met at this women's group called the Blazing Grove. We were at a retreat in Costa Rica, and all of us either had taken a sabbatical or needed to take a sabbatical. And they had luncheon topics. We ended up at a table called Following Your Dreams. And the more we talked, the more we talked about how important it is to give yourself the gift of time, the gift to be able to sit back and think about, what do I want to do next in my next chapter? Or maybe it's to take, we call it between gigs, between one career and another career, or just that you're burned out and you needed to take time off work. So from that lunch meeting, and we honestly didn't know each other before, the next year we had all either taken a sabbatical or were about to take it, and I said, well, let's write a book about this, the experiences. And so 500 interviews later, and we talked to about 50 companies, we came out with Reboot Your Life in 2011. And it's a how-to book on everything from negotiating with your employer, how to take off time, to looking at what you do on that time off, how you plan for it, how you fund your freedom, how you what it is that you might do in travel when you're on a break. And then we started looking at what corporations were doing and how they were valuing people who did take some time off, Intel being one of the ones that has had probably the longest running sabbatical program going. What was wonderful, Adrian, was that everyone we interviewed, either who took time off or and stayed at the same job or career, or took time off and changed careers, everyone was better off. Everyone said taking that time, whether it was 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, and in some cases only 1 month, it gave them the time to really relax, rest, restore themselves, and then be ready for the next chapter. We started doing retreats around this. We still do. We do about 4 retreats a year. And that led us to the next book, which we call Revolutionary Retirement, because many of the people coming to our retreats were in their 50s or 60s and saying, I don't want to quit working, but I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay in this career. How am I going to plan for the next maybe 25 to 30 years of my life, even if I retire from my current career or current job at age 55 or 60 or 65, whatever it might be? So that it really came out of the people who came to our retreats that led us to think about doing another book, again, that would help people to plan for, to fund, to really understand what they need to do for this next chapter of their life, which is after their career, after their main career.
So, you know, of course, we're going to focus on that in a minute, Kathy, but as you're talking, I'll tell you what's reminiscing in my mind. I remember the early days in, say, the early 70s when we went from college, or in my case, law school, to work. And almost everyone got a culture shock. There were so many hours of work. There were so few vacations. I mean, you would get 1 week vacation or 2 weeks vacation, whereas in France and other parts of the world, vacations are a month and much longer. Then we would fight for a little maternity leave, or even later in years, paternity leave. So you took kids who were very creative, very smart, very filled with lust for life, and you put them under basically fluorescent light bulbs for days and 12 hours a day. And many of them broke. Doctors became musicians, and they just dropped out. Why? Because we didn't know, and corporations were not primed to give us the time that we needed to reboot. The truth is, in my life, it took me until about age 55 to be able to integrate all of the travel that I've wanted to do, and most of it has happened because of technology. Technology has allowed me to be all over the world. I just came back from the Caribbean. I'm going to be in my office for 2 weeks. I'm leaving again for the West Coast, and I think I have about 2 weeks out of every month through January where I'm away. And I don't think anybody that I have a responsibility to is going to even know that I'm gone because of technology. And I want those people who are working, whether they're young and they're listening, whether they're retired and they're listening, to get over the fact that you cannot follow that dream. And I really don't know any other organizations or books that deal with that. For those of you who want to see a review of Reboot Your Life, I actually wrote one. I don't even know if Kathy knows, but it's on boomerlivingplus.com. You'll see a review of Reboot Your Life. I'm sure it's on Amazon. You can get it ask for it in your local bookstore. But it is the how-to of freedom, and there's nothing like that. Now you've taken it a step further, I gather, Kathy, in terms of the retirement. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back and focus on that, because this is what is going to be the next stage for many people who are listening, and you are a great guide in helping them make that happen and make it exciting. It's not the end, but the beginning. So I just want to remind you that we have some great sponsors, Unity Bank, at unitybank.com. They fundraise in their communities. They have special senior and mature CD rates that are better than you'll find in most places. They, if you want to become an entrepreneur after 50, they're going to help you with that. They'll help you with your IRAs, and they will help you with your mortgages. There are so many branches, I can't tell you each location, but I can tell you that if you go to unitybank.com, you will find them. I also want to tell you about the agelesstraveler.com. As you know from our show today and our author, M.C. Quint, it is the 70th anniversary of World War II. The Ageless Traveler is partnering with Colette Tours for a trip to Normandy and the beaches of Normandy with an historian in November. So if you're interested in that, or if you feel you can no longer travel, you're wrong. Go to theagelesstraveler.com for hints and tips on how to travel at any age. And finally, if you're a grandparent or a parent with an almost college-age child and you're worried about getting that essay done, you're worried about selecting the right colleges, collegeapplicationcoach.com is the website of the admissions office. You'll get a free consultation from if you're a Super Aging Today listener. So that's collegeapplicationcoach.com. Now I'm going back to our guest, Kathy Allen. I'm very, very excited. We'll talk to her about where she is right now because she's in Ireland. But she is the CEO of Santa Fe Group, an author of Reboot Your Life, and now an author of another book that's coming up on retirement, which we're going to talk about right now. So, Kathy, let's go right into that new book and what came out of those retreats.
I will do that. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about my co-authors because it's important in terms of how each of us have reinvented our life. And I love your story because you're an example of following your dreams and reinventing into what we sometimes call a portfolio career where you are able to travel, you're a radio host, you have a website, you're an author. You don't have to do one thing, and I think that's one of the joys of this next chapter for many of us. Once we've reached 50 or so, we have this ability to have more time and to really follow what we really love to do. Well, Nancy Berg was a national security advisor in the White House. She was in the National Security Council, but she always loved writing, and she was at the Aspen Institute after that. And again, she's great because she's one of the best writers that we have, and also is our great copywriter, and she's got a great ability to look at detail. Jay Smith is a corporate coach, and she's been working for the last 25 years with corporation executives and helping them in terms of planning their career or getting beyond the bumps in their career. So she's got a background in human resources. And then Rita Foley, who was president of Westvaco's consumer packaging division and has had a corporate life. She's now sits on boards and does some coaching for women to get onto boards of directors, men and women to get onto boards. But she's a great photographer, and she's learned that in this chapter of her life. So again, she's a good example of a portfolio career. And for myself, I spend about a third of my time with my company, the Santa Fe Group, which is a cybersecurity emerging technologies company. I spend a third of my time on corporate boards, and I spend a third doing this pro bono. Now, this is in addition to the writing, but doing pro bono because I'm a big believer in giving back. So our backgrounds led us to think about, well, what do you do when you reach 50 or 55? Rita, for instance, retired early at 55. Nancy decided at age 60. I'm still working full-time, but I'm working at my own, I'm doing things I love, and I have more control of my time, which is why I'm here in Ireland for 3 weeks. And I'll come back to how I got here and kind of the fun story about trading homes, because I think it's a really important thing for people to do in this next chapter. But anyway, what we looked at was what was happening with people our age who really did not want to stop working either because they want to stay relevant, stay involved, they have much more to give, and we're all much healthier than our parents were at this age. But also, many of us cannot not work because we lost money during the financial crisis or we lost equity in our homes. So, and we started to look at the trends for boomers. I'm going to give you two what I think are very scary statistics. If we just think about it the right way, I think people will be doing the right thing. Number one, 75% of baby boomers, and again, baby boomers are born from 1946 to 1964. There's 10,000 of us every day turning 65. 75% of us have saved nothing. Nothing. Zero.
Correct.
Many thought they had their savings in their home equity, but that went away during the crisis. So we've got all of these people reaching 65, that many of these people who have to keep working. And you can maybe in your 60s and your 70s, but you still, if you reach 65 today, the prediction is you will reach 85. And every year beyond 65 adds a year up. So I think our generation, the boomers, are going, many of us are going to be 100 or 105. And you have to really think about, how am I going to fund, you know, my 80s and 90s, so to speak.
By the way, Kathy, it's more than one to one. If you, for every year you live, it's almost 1.3 years more than you're going to live. So that's why I call myself a longevitist. I'm extremely, I guess, excited is the right word, about how long we may live. And that's why what you bring to the table is important. It's not just how long, but how. And now we bring that back to you.
That's exactly, because you want to live the fullest that you can. The second statistic that I think is critically important for our age group to think about is 70% of us, 70% of boomers, are still supporting their kids or grandkids in some way, i.e. everything from car payments to housing to student loan payoffs. And that's taking money out of our retirement. And granted, our kids and our grandkids are facing a much more difficult environment, but it also is something that we have to consciously think about when we're thinking about how do we fund the next 25 to 30 years beyond age 65. So that's kind of the scary statistics. The point is we find so many people who are doing amazing things, that there are people, I've got a 92-year-old that's on one of my corporate boards. We have people in their 80s writing books. We have people well into their 80s traveling, doing adventuresome travel. We had one woman, 82, who leads tours to Bhutan, which is not an easy thing to do.
I actually went to Bhutan led by a 72-year-old.
I love it.
Absolutely.
I mean, doesn't it make you feel good? Yep. And
you
have one of my best friends who's 75, who was an amazing attorney and all kinds of awards for what she did. And she was at the head of the Justice Department Tax Division. She's an amazing dancer. She loves to dance, and she's also doing photography. So in her case, and she's also on a board. So we're seeing people, as they move into their 60s and 70s and 80s, first of all, think much more broadly about what they can do. They also are still engaged in their careers or, you know, professional interests in some way, not full time, but in some way. And sometimes it's, again, by board work. And then thirdly, they're following these passions that they never had time for. So the book that we wrote, the Revolutionary Retirement book, includes everything from planning and designing this next chapter to making your money last to reinventing into new work. We have a chapter on leaving a legacy, which is really important to the baby boomers. We have a chapter on health, on retirement robbers, things that might take away from your enjoyment of this next chapter. And we ended about talking about simplifying your life, really understanding the being as opposed to the acquiring. And that helps people also to think about, well, maybe I don't need this big house anymore, or maybe there are ways I can follow my dreams, but it doesn't have to be that expensive. And that leads me to, what am I doing sitting here looking out at the bay in Roundstone, Ireland? I've been trading my house with friends or friends of friends in my house in Santa Fe, which you've been to, Adrian, with
yes.
other friends.
Beautiful. It has many compounds.
Exactly. And a lot of people want to go to Santa Fe. So what happens is you find people that maybe want to be in your home, you know, in that region, and they're in a region that you might be interested in. And so I met Bill and Denise Whalen. Bill is the composer of Riverdance. He's like an icon in Ireland and known for his compositions, not only for Riverdance, but also classical music, and he is a composer for Van Morrison and U2. Well, he and his wife, who's lovely, they were interested in being in Santa Fe, so we traded before they came to Santa Fe and stayed in my home. This time, I'm in Ireland in their home, and they're in, my husband and I have a home in Cape Cod, and so they're visiting in Cape Cod with their family. So, and I have my cousins with me, and so that leads me to a second thing. So the first is trading your homes is an inexpensive way to spend time in a region, get to know people, and really have a, you know, be able to cook and go to the markets and enjoy being in a home as opposed to a hotel. But secondly, I'm traveling this time with friends and family, so that it's also a way to take, you know, we have six of us that are here, and we go off during the day. We went pony trekking this morning. We're going tomorrow on a sailboat, but to also then come back and cook together, and you know, take turns in fixing dinner. So again, it's a less expensive, but certainly a more culturally interesting way to go to other countries. And we're finding more people doing that. So it's just one of those new trends that I think the baby boomers are doing that are going to create new ways that we travel, new ways that we maintain those relationships with our relatives and our friends, and new ways to understand different cultures.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we try to do here in Super Aging is really get practical. You know, we talked about the portfolio career. You don't know the half of it, Kathy, because I was a lawyer for 35 years, and I was simultaneously on air, both television and radio. And then time does come, by the way, that they don't want you. I was the wrong kind of blonde. But I always enjoy going to these meetings where people who are on air today, big stars, will run up and say, oh, thank you. If not for you, there would be no me. And I would say grumpily, that's great, you're welcome, but I still wish that the older broadcaster was embraced, and it isn't. But mm-hmm. what happened mm-hmm. to me, as you talk about the ability to reboot, was that I thought, you know, I cannot travel enough as a lawyer. It's not the life I wanted to lead. I love the life of broadcasting, and what I know about is the older market. And so we created a marketing company at age 55, and it's really that, together with my writing and so on, that's allowed us to live the life we love. But I will tell everybody listening that the reason you need these retreats with Kathy, the reason you need to read her books, is it's not easy. You always have to remind yourself to be flexible, to not regret, to be resourceful. So I love to travel all over the world. I really have. But as time goes on and you want to take fewer clients or you want to fully retire, you have to be flexible enough to forget the five-star hotel. I call trade in the five-star hotel for five-star people. Five-star people live in five-star homes. And so you're going to be able to stay in places that are beautiful. Plus, as you know, Kathy, there's plenty of websites, and we'll get them for everybody, particularly visited by boomers. Where you can switch and trade online. So in your case, mm-hmm. you did it privately, and you teach people how to do it, and you did it wisely. But you can do this online, too. And we just had Diane Bell. I think you were probably on maybe. Did you
yes.
get a chance to hear
uh-huh.
her? She's, yeah, relocation. So one of the things I always tell people to look for, if they're going to buy a second home in a place and they've got choices, they don't have to go to one place for a job or a child, try to go to a place that you can swap. if you have a small apartment even in a place near Las Vegas, you'll be able to trade that. People want to go there for vacation. And those people may be in Tuscany, in Italy. And if you've always dreamed about going to Tuscany, there's your chance. Don't, you know, put your valuables in there. Make it nice. Make it pretty. But make it something that a stranger could live in. In Kathy's case, you're not exactly strangers. But online, they're strangers. So think about it, and you could open up your whole life to inexpensive travel all around the world. And that's only one thing with you that you touch on. You really help people just start to think out of the box. So in terms of the new book, when is it out? How do we get it? And what is your favorite part of it, the part that was a revelation to you, if any, on your new book?
Okay. So again, the title is Revolutionary Retirement, and it'll be on Amazon. It'll be the first part of September by the time it's out. We're just in the finishing stages, and we're actually doing it through CreateSpace, self-publishing this time. Reboot book was with Beaufort Publishing. But we do have an agent that is interested in this, so I think it may end up in a bigger publisher. But right now, it'll be out it'll be on Amazon and in bookstores. It's called Revolutionary Retirement. It has a bright red cover to it, and again, it'll be the first part of September. I'm going to give you our website, which is www.rebootbreak.com. Rebootbreak. All one word, .com, and that will have, when we have book parties or events in bookstores or other marketing kinds of things, but also we'll talk about the retreats that we have coming up too, and I'll come back to that in a minute. I love the question
just
that you asked about.
I just
want
to tell you, Kathy, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second because this is important. On Super Aging NJ, in September, we will be starting our first book club, and three books of the three authors that we've had on this hour will be on there, plus the website, plus your Amazon, so that people will be able to find your book through us as well. But they'll be buying it directly from Amazon or wherever you want us to tell them. The other thing is, this is really, we're in an age of creativity. And if we have not gotten into the habit of writing or photographing, and we've always wanted it all our life, you can do it. Three important authors were on my show today, Kathy Allen and Joe Mish, a children's book that he has out, and M.C. Quint. All three of them self-published their book. Now, Kathy has a publisher. I have five or six publishers, and the next book I am putting out is going to be self-published. I don't want anybody to tell me they can't find a publisher, they can't write. I do not speak that to me. These are all stars. They all did it, and you can too. That's my soapbox. Okay, Kathy, go right ahead. I'm sorry.
I totally agree with you, because my other books, you know, are from publishers and are, you know, big publishing houses. But today, in today's publishing world, CreateSpace is so easy to use, and honestly, the publishers don't do as much as they used to in the past.
They
so you really can get something out there. And I'm going to put a plug in. Cape Cod has there's a Cape Cod Writers Center, and every August they have a Cape Cod Writers Conference. I think this year was the 52nd year, and they have fabulous teachers and the people you're sitting next to have written books or are ready to or learn how. It's really a good place I recommend people go to if they're trying to say, gee, I've got a memoir in me, or I've got a novel in me, or, you know, yeah, I had this experience, I want to write about it. But I want to go back to your question. My favorite chapter in it, just for a second, I'll tell you, how we write these books, all four of us write certain chapters, and then we edit each other, and then we go back and re-edit so it has one voice. So it looks like it feels like one person wrote it, but in fact, four people wrote it. But one of the chapters that was my responsibility was leaving a legacy. And I mm-hmm. talked to people, and I will tell you, the boomers have a strong desire to give something back, to leave a legacy you know, whether it's giving money to their university or charity, or it's, you know, building a business, or it's writing a book, or it's doing something where they're really helping mankind. And it's a wonderful thing to see. And many people will say, you know, I had to work to take care of my family or to build my career or to make sure I could, you know, retire, but now I want to give back. And there's so many wonderful ways that boomers are doing that. So that chapter talks about that and talks about many ways that you can leave a legacy and how important it is to be a role model for your kids in that area. And we also write, my next research topic I'm looking into is the millennials, because they're very interesting. And they're, you know, 80 million millennials out there, and they too have this sense about giving back. It's very interesting to see what these age cohorts are like. But anyway, I was going to mention that we have in Cape Cod, the last retreat for this year is October the 10th to the 12th. And if you go to our website, rebootbreak.com, it talks about how to register for it if anybody's interested in it. The retreats we limit to 12 people. We do them in our homes. We have gourmet food. We have, you know, all of us that are kind of do one-on-one in addition to group work with people to really help them plan this next chapter. And it's been out of those retreats. The research has really helped us in writing, but it's also been a wonderful experience to see people kind of get the ahas of, I can do this, that I can try something new. And it makes me feel good, because you feel like we have so much to look forward to, and if we maintain our health, there are many contributions that we can make in the next 25 years. And Adrian, I expect you to be on radio and television at, you know, 20 years from now. We're going to be looking at that.
I'm working on it. Look, I'll tell you, our great joy would be for this show, and which has just started. In fact, I left another show which had to do with nonprofit. It was called Nonprofit Exchange, in order to make this happen. Because when I became 55 years old, I was a person whose parents, my dad died when I was 11, and most of my family died very early in life. My mom, thank God, she lived till 92. But I never thought I'd be 55 years old. That came as a shock to me. Not because I thought it was old, but because I thought I'd check out early in life like the rest of my family. My father never really got much past 40. And that's when I saw the beauty of it. I saw the beauty of it when I realized that aging was in my grasp. And part of that is bringing people like you and your information to as many people as I can possibly get to listen. And so I hope that you're right about the broadcasting, and I hope it will go on to terrestrial shows, which I call terrestrial shows, where we have not just internet, but also regular radio, not because I think it's better, but because there are many older adults that are not internet savvy. And that's why that's important to me. That's our next step, Kathy, because I want people to be able to turn on their radio if they cannot turn on their computer. So I thank you so much, and tell us one last time where we find your boot camps, your retreat.
If you go to rebootbreak.com, and that will tell you about our books, but about the upcoming October 10th to 12th retreat in Cape Cod.
Wonderful, and of course the book will be on our book, our very, very first book club information on Super Aging NJ. Thank you so much, Kathy. Have a wonderful time on the golf course, on the water, shooting pheasants, whatever you're doing over there. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. So this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Super Aging Today. What a blast. I mean, nobody ever told me that being 66 almost would be this great. And by the way, have so many issues. I have a 22-year-old. I have a 32-year-old. Yes, I'm just like Kathy. I'm still spending the money on the colleges. I'm trying to figure out when and if I will ever retire and how it will look like. Are you? Well, if you are, let us know. Simply go to superagingnj.com You'll see 100 different ways to reach us for many, many different things.
When I look in the
and,
mirror,
of course, tune in.
I don't
and
see
please take
wrinkles.
Our number down, 818-739-8957.
When I
this
look
is a number
in the
that you can
mirror,
use to
I
call in and ask questions of any of our
on people. My head,
but
not
also,
my shoulder.
And that is only, however,
when
we're on
the
air. We are on
I
the air every single
Mustang,
time. And then it is archived. So tell your friends about
and
this,
when I look at
and
my wife,
you can go to
blogtalkradio.com/super8today,
like or you can hear me at super8today.com, and all of our shows are awesome. And then if you have questions for our guests, then you will see
I'm
ways that you can ask us those questions, we'll get you in touch.
For
so this is a
age.
Whole world
that
I'm very excited about, and that I want to continue to keep this dialogue going. And so, have a wonderful week. We'll talk next month. Listen tomorrow and send and tell all of your friends. Let's hear a little bit of music.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Okay, this is very, very good. Two things. Can you hear me?